Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Chet Amud Bet, beginning our study of the third parak of Masechet Rosh Hashanah, continuing with the laws of Kiddush HaChodesh and the testimony and the declaration. Ra'uhu Beit Din v'chol Yisrael. If the Beit Din and everybody saw the moon, Nechkaru Ha'idim, the witnesses had already been investigated and checked. And examined. V'lo yispiku lomar mekudash ad shechashecha, but the Beit Din did not have a chance to say the word mekudash before dark. Harei zeh mu'ubar. Automatically, it becomes a 30-day month, and Rosh Chodesh then is the next day. Ra'u Beit Din bilvad. If just the Beit Din saw it, yamdu shnayim ve'ayidu bifneihem. So two people should get up and testify in front of them. V'yomru mekudash mekudash. And the Beit Din declares mekudash, meaning two of the Beit Din. Ra'u shlosha ve'hein Beit Din. Let's say three members, which are Beit Din, and they're the only ones who saw it, Yamdu Ashnaim, so two of those members should get up. Yoshev Shivu Michavarei Mitzal Yachid. They should get two other fellows to join the one who's left. V'yayidu b'frem and testify in front of them. V'yomar Yomru Mekudash Mekudash. Why? She'ena Yachid Nemal Adei Atzmo. You cannot have one Dayan. There are several different clauses in this Mishnah. So right away the Gemara asks, Lama Le Demin Haru Beit Din V'chol Yisrael. Why mention that the Beit Din and all of Yisrael saw it as part of the first clause? It's not exactly the chamena who over a Beit Din v'chol Yisrael. I might have thought that since everybody saw it, he parsed some Allah, it already became famous and known that it was a new month, filoli abruha, and they should not make it a 30-day month. Kamash falan, that if they don't say mekudash, automatically it's a 30-day month. So why add in the issue that the witnesses were already examined? The answer is Hachi Kamar. It's really two different clauses. Meaning, even if all of Bnei Yisrael saw it, or the witnesses had already been examined, and in either case, they had not yet declared it till dark, Harezim Ubar. So why mention the examination of the witnesses at all? The answer is it starts that the chamena tevi chakirat edim kitchilatin kudash v'kudash kikmar din. Maybe we'll create an analogy where the examination of the witnesses is like beginning a case of dine momonot, and the declaration of kudash v'kudash is like the sentence or the final ruling. The kanchibalelia, and then they would be makadosh at night. Why? I mean, havi adine momonot. We have the Mishnah in Sanhedrin that says dine momonot tadin bayom goin balayla. You could start dine momonot bayom. You have to start them during the day, but they may be finished that night. You continue through, as opposed to dine nefashot, which could only be during the day. Hachinam mekachin balayla. I might have thought that since the witnesses were examined during the day, we could sanctify it that night, which would mean it would already be day two, by the way. Kamash malan, that it doesn't work. V'emachinami, why don't we say that's the case? Amarkra, kichok l'Yisrael hu mishpat l'Elohe Yaakov. In that chapter that we keep coming back to, of Tehillim, chapter 81, which is a reference to the new month, and it says, kichok l'Yisrael hu mishpat l'Elohe Yaakov. Ema tavechok, when is it an affirmed day? Bigmar din, when they declare it. Kari le rachmana le mishpat, and the text calls that mishpat. My mishpat bayom, afachanami bayom. And as Rashi points out, we know that mishpat is bayom, from the pasuk about Bechoran, about Nachala, and therefore, the Kiddush Beit Din has to be during the day. Okay, Rahu Beit Din yamdu shnayim v'yayidu b'fneihem, amai. Why do two of the members of the Beit Din have to get up and testify? After all, they all saw it. Lotei shmi'a gdola miriya. Why should have the Beit Din hearing what they already saw from their fellows be better than just having seen it? Rabbi Zera, can go on Shira'uhu Malayla. That's a case where they saw it at night, and therefore the next day, without the Shmiah, there's nothing to be Mekadosh. In other words, if Beit Din all saw it on the night of the 30th, meaning right after the 29th, they can't be Mekadosh it then. So the next day, they have two of them get up. But indeed, it sounds as if they also, if the Beit Din all saw it on the day of the 30th, they could just declare it without testimony. Ra'u shlosha v'ein Beit Din yamdu shnayim yoshiv mechavrei meitzal yachid. And we said if three of them saw it, only three, were members of a Beit Din, two of them get up, act as witnesses, and then two other fellows join the individual. Why can't these three just declare it based on what they saw? If you're going to say this is also a case where they saw it at night, then how is this any different than the earlier case? The answer is, this is actually needed for the last statement, which is that you cannot have one individual be the achid mumcheh for Kiddush HaChodesh, and that's why we had to establish this case, to tell me that two separate, but then two others have to come in to join the one for the Beit Din. Since we have the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, needs three, but if the one person is a Mumchel Rabim, is a musmach, then he could do it alone. So we could do Kiddush HaChodesh alone. Kamash Malan, that you can't. Why can't you? The answer is there was no greater mumcha than Moshe. And Hashem said, "Moshe ve'Aharon haChodesh hazeh lachem." So therefore you see that one person can't do it alone. Now, true, Moshe and Aaron are krovim, and Moshe and Aaron are only two and not three, but at least it tells you can't do it alone. Now, lememer de'ed na'ased dayan, when an aid can become a dayan, in other words, this guy who saw it is now acting as a dayan. Three of them saw it, two separate, and one of them, who is the three dayanim remaining now, one of them actually saw it. So lema nitin lo k'Rabbi Akiva. It sounds like our Mishnah goes against Rabbi Akiva. D'tanya, we have the following braita, Sanhedrin shera'u achad sharkat ha'nefesh. Let's say that the Sanhedrin themselves saw a fellow kill somebody. Miktzatan nasu edim, miktzatan nasu dayanim. So some of them become the edim, and the rest of them are the dayanim, the Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva omer kulan nasu edim. No, they're all edim, they all saw it. Ve'ene nasad dayan, you have to find a different beitin. The answer is afilu temer Rabbi Akiva. You could even say that Rabbi Akiva would agree here that the fellow who saw Kiddush HaChodesh can now act as a dayan, who saw the moon can act as a dayan, hearing testimony of his fellows. Ad kalakam Rakiva hatam. Rabbi Akiva only ruled the way he did there. Ela bedina nefashot. Why? Rachman amar v'shaftu eida v'tzilu eida. In the end of Parsha of Sefer Bamidbar, we know that there has to be an eida matzelet and an eida shofetet, meaning that every dayan has to be able to see both sides of the coin. Since this fellow on the Beit Din, or all these members of the Beit Din, saw the guy killed, they will find it very hard to find an argument in favor of his exoneration. And therefore, they cannot act, according to Rabbi Akiva, as Dayanim. They must all act as Edim. However, in our case, Rabbi Akiva would agree that this is a formality of Kiddush HaChodesh, not something in which we're looking to find somebody who could see things both ways in that sense. And since they saw it themselves, the testimony will be fairly easy. At this point, the Masechet turns and makes a final turn, as it were, to the laws of Rosh Hashanah, beginning with the laws of Shofar. And the rest of the material that we'll deal with this in this podcast will be about the physical shofar itself, the cheftza of the mitzvah. Kol ha-shofar k'sherim. You can use any horn. Chutz mishel param neshu keren. Except for that of a cow, because a cow's horn is not called a shofar, it's called a keren. Amra, and the Torah says, shofar, actually not in the context of Rosh Hashanah, but rather in the context of Yovel. We'll see more about that in the final chapter. I'm Rabbi Yosef, although called Shavuot Nikro Karen. All Shavuot are called Karen. Shemar B'mshoch B'Karen HaYovel. When we're at Har Sinai, we're told when you hear the Karen HaYovel, and the Yovel, as we'll find out, is a ram. So you see, that's also called a Karen. So the fact that the horn of a para is called a Karen shouldn't invalidate it, and it sounds like Rabbi Yosef would allow that also. Okay, Shapir Kamar Rabbi Yosef. We'll see several formulations adding and expanding to this disagreement. Rabbi Yosef has a good claim. Rabbanan, what's their answer? Kol shofarot iku keren viku shofar viku keren. All shofarot are called both shofar and keren. They agree that a ram's horn is called a keren also. Upara keren ikri shofar lo ikri. However, a cow's horn is only called a keren, not a shofar. Dichti b'chor shor hadar lo v'karnei ra'im karnav. In the famous bracha that Moshe gives to Bnei Yosef, b'chor shoro, he calls him an ox, and he calls his horns karnei ra'im karnav. Rabbi Yossi Amar Lacha, Rabbi Yossi's answer would be, the paranami iku shofar. But I have another pasuk in Tehillim, dechtivi titav l'adonai mishor par. You are, this korban, it's according to the Midrash, is brought by Adam Harishon, is greater than a shore par. Im shor lama par. Par is bigger than a shore. Shore is, so why call it but two different things, not opposite, but two things of a different size. Now the my shore par, what's shofar? Shore par, shofar. So Rabbi Yossi says that that's how we should read the pasuk. Rabbanan k'rab matna, damar matna, my shore par. My shore par means something else. Shu gadol kepar. Even though it's a shore, it's as big as a par. Ula mahenu tamed rabbanan kiri rav chista. The amar rav chista b'neima in kohen gadol nechaz v'gdei zav v'nefanayim l'pfim b'alvod avodan. It's a very famous piece. He says, Rabbi Yossi, the rabbanan's reason for not allowing the para is not because of the nomenclature, but because of the same presentation given by Rav Chista, why a Kohen Gadol has to wear white clothes when he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim. The accuser cannot become the defense attorney. In other words, he's coming in for kapara, which in some sense we can trace back to Cheta Egel. The Egel was Zahav, so he's not going to wear gold clothes to come in. Velo, Vaika Dam Par, but he brings the blood of a par, and a par is the same animal as an Egel. And the answer is yes, but it's not an animal, it's blood. Vayika Aro, what about all the appurtenances in the Mikdash that are gold? The answer is Chote Bal Yakriv Kamrinan. We're talking about offerings, not furniture. Vayika Kafu Machta, but he comes in with the gold, spoon and fire pan, for the Ktoret into the Kodesh Kodoshim. The answer is Chote Bal Yitka'e Kamrinan. Meaning that he should not beautify himself with these things like the clothes. And therefore he doesn't wear gold clothes. Vayika bigdei zahav mibachutz, but he wears bigdei zahav out in the courtyard. So mifnim kamrinan, we're talking about the avodah inside the mikdash, whether in the kodesh or kodesh kodeshim. Shofar nam machutzu, but the shofar never goes inside either, so what's the problem? So they came in the zikaron, who can be frim dam. It's a beautiful idea. Many darshanim have picked up on this, and many, many drashot about Rosh Hashanah, that since the shofar is blown for zikaron, it's as if it's inside the frim of the kamar. It's all very nice, except that Rabbi Yossi didn't say that. Rabbanan said the reason for a par is because it's called a karen, not because of a kategor nasa sanegor. The answer is Chada v'yod kamar. They were saying two things. Chada then kategor nasa sanegor. First of all, the argument that we just saw adapting Rav Chista. V'yod neshu karen. V'yod yosi amar lach, so Rav Yossi then have to give two answers. The kamar then kategor nasa sanegor and himil v'fim v'hai shofar b'chutzu. He answers what we said, which is the shofar never goes inside the bait. There's no violation of kategor nasa sanegor. V'yod neshu karen, kosher on nami iku karen. And then the other answer that we see explicitly in the Mishnah, that also for Ota called a Karen. Abai Amar, he has a different take. Shofar shofarot. So whereas whereas Ula said that what the second reason lurking was Kategor Nasa Sanegor, Abaye says that there was something else going on with Rabbanan Rabbi Yossi. Rabbanan said that since the Torah says shofar, it has to be a singular shofar, and Vahad Farah, a cow's horn, Kevan Dekai Gilde Gilde, because as it grows, it develops more layers on it. Mitchazik Yishtarim Shloshah Shofarot, it looks like two or three shofarot. Ah, Vatam Neshu Karen, but that's not what Rabbanan said, because Neshu Karen Kamar. The answer is the same, Chadavod Kamar. There were two shofar, Chadamar, Chwanav Loshtaim, Shlosha Shofarot. The first is that you have to have one shofar, not multiple shofarot in one. If you have Neshu Karen, the other is because it's a Karen. Rabbi Yossi Amarlach, his answer was, the Kamar Shofar, Chadamar, Chwanav Loshtaim, Shlosha Shofarot, Tadi Chadu, since it's all in one unit, it's one. But the Kamar Neshu Karen, Shlosharot, Namu Iku Karen, the answer we saw in the Mishnah. Okay, now my mashma da hayovla leishna de dichrahu. How do we know that yovel means a ram? Such that we said mshoch b'keren hayovel, and the reference was to a ram's horn, and that's how Rabbi Yossi proved that all shofarot, even the classic shofar, which is the ram's horn, is called a keren. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Akiva k'shalachti l'arabia hayu korin le dichra yovla. I found when I went to the Arabian Peninsula that I heard them calling a ram yovla. I heard that they called a woman in menstruation a galmuda. My galmuda, what does it mean? Gmula dami baala. She's away from her husband. I heard in Africa, perhaps this is in Egypt, that they called a ma'ad with the word ksita. How does that help? It explains what the 100 ksita that Yaakov used to buy the area east of Shechem. To alright though, what does it mean? Mea donkey, 100 mea ma'a. Amar Rabbi, shalachti l'charkei hayam, hayu korin l'mechira kira. Rabbi says that when he was traveling in the Mediterranean, he heard that they called selling kira. L'maynafkumina, what's that for? The fushay asher kariti li. When Yaakov says that, bury me in the cave, asher kariti li, it means that which I bought, and that is to bury me next to Leah in Marat Machpela. Amar Yishev ben Lakish, shalakli litchum kan nishraya, hayu korin lechala ninfi. They called a bride ninfi. L'chanigol sechvi. And a chicken, a rooster, they called sechvi. L'chala ninfi, why, my crab? And the pasuk in Tehillim Memchet, Yifei Nof Mesos Kol Haaretz. So Yifei Nof Ninfi, beautiful. That's the bride. And I go Sechvi, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Maravi, Baitem, Rabbi Shub and Levi, Maikra. We're all familiar with this. Mishat Batuchot Chochma, Ominatan La Sechvi Vina. In Eov, who gives the Sechvi understanding? And of course, two understandings of that. Either it means the rooster, the understanding to crow at dawn, or it means the heart has understanding, which seems to fit better with the context of the Pasuk. Shavat Tuchot Chochma, Elu Klayot, that's the kidneys that give intuitive understanding. Tan Sechvina, Zet Tarnigol. But Levi Ikla Luhuatra. Levi came to a particular town. Ata Gavrila Kameh. A fellow came in front of him, a Marle, Kvan Plonya. Plonya was Koveami. Levi didn't know what it meant. Ata Shal Beit Midrash. He came to the Beit Midrash. Amarle Gazlan Amarlach. They told him, in our town, that's the way you say Gazlan, meaning this guy was claiming that somebody else stole from him. Dichtiv Haikba Adam Elohim. At the end of Nevuat Malachi, he says, will a man steal from God? Ki atem kovim oti b'maser b'tumah. Amarle Rav Marnish to Rav Ashi. Have hatam, have menale. If I were there, I would have said to Levi the following. Hei chikva. I would have said to the fellow, in order to figure out what he was talking about. If he didn't know what I mean, plonly kavan, I would have said, hei chikvaach, v'maikvaach, v'maikvaach. How did he kovea you? With what did he kovea you? And why did he kovea you? Umela, have yadina, and I'd figure out from his answer what it meant. V'yusar, why didn't Levi do that? Milta di sura kamarle. He thought maybe he was talking about something asur, and therefore he didn't want to quiz further. Okay, Lo Haviyadi Rabbanan My Serugin. This is a very famous piece in Megillah and Shabbat. The rabbis did not know what the word Serugin meant. The students of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, studying the Mishnah and Megillah, and if you read the Megillah Serugin, Lo Yatsa Shmaula Amta the Verebi de Chazanto Rabbanan the Vehayri Alupai Piski Piski. They heard the chambermaid of Rebbe's house who saw the students coming in a little group and then a break, another group and a break. Amrlo an matatem nichasim serugin serugin. Why are you coming in serugin serugin? And they understood that to read the Megillah serugin was to read some and stop, read and stop. Actually, our yotze, depending how long the break is. They didn't know what that word meant. And it shows up in the context of the Mishnah. Yom Achad Shma'u Alamta the very Rabbi Dechazid Lahu Gavra the Kamavada Parpachine. So they saw Rabbi's chambermaid saw a fellow who was spreading out certain flowers. Amrale Amatam Fazer Chalug Logacha. And then they understood what it was. Rabbanan my Salsaleu Tromecha, the Pasuk in Shlei, Salsaleha, and it will lift you up. They didn't know what that meant. Yomachad Shmuel Amta, the very Rebbe, the Havad Amri, Lahu Gavad Avi Kamahapech Besare. One of the chambermaids saw one of them, a man who was teasing his hair. Amrali, Admatai Misalsel Besarecha. How long can he Misalsel? So he says, like, to spend extra time being vain with or something like that. Salsaleha Tromecha. So, glorify and tease with the Torah, and it will raise you up. The pasuk in Yeshayahu, we now know it means, I will sweep her out with a broom of destruction. And one of the chambermaids said to another one, take the broom and sweep out the house. Put your yahav, which means burden, on Hashem, and He will take care of you. I was walking after a particular Arab. I was carrying a heavy load. He had a camel, and he said, take your yahav and throw it on my camel. So I understood that a yahav is a burden. Okay, next Mishnah. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah shel Ya'el. And this is in the Mikdash. The shofar used for Rosh Hashanah is of an ibex. Pashut, it means it's straight. Upiv mitzupe zahav, and the part right near the mouthpiece is gold-plated. Ushtei chatzotzot min hatzadim. The two silver cornets were on the two sides. Shofar marich. The shofar would make the longer sound. V'chatzotzot mekatzrot. They would end earlier. Shmitzvat hayom v'shofar. Because on Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah is the shofar. But in the mikdash, they blew both. V'taniyot, when there was a fast day, when they have to blow the chatzotzot, b'shel zcharim. They would use ram's horns. Kfufin. They were curled. U'pihem mitzupek kesef. And the mouthpiece had a silver plating. Ushtei chatzotzot ba'emza, and the chatzotzot were in the middle. Shofar mekatzer chatzotzot marichot. Now the shofar has the shorter sound, the chatzotzot will go long. Shmitzvat hayom chatzotzot, because the mitzvah of the tanit is chatzotzot. As we read in the parsha of chatzotzot, in Bamidbar Perak Yod. Shaveh hayovel the Rosh Hashanah l'kiyav l'brachot. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur of Yovel have the same exact rulings for the Tkiyot and for the Brachot and Musaf. For Yehuda Omer, Rosh Hashanah tokin Mishel Zcharim, we have Lot Mishel Yelim. He has the difference. He says that Rosh Hashanah, we actually use a ram's horn, and Yovel, they use an ibex horn. Okay, I'm Rabbi Levi. Mitzvah Shal Rosh Hashanah v'Shom Kippur m'chfufin. He says that the shofar, the ideal shofar for Rosh Hashanah and Yovel of Yom Kippur of Yovel, is to use the round ones, the curled ones. V'shal kol hashana, any other time of the year, meaning tanit b'pshutin, a straight one. But non shofar shana shal yael pashut, but our Mishnah says the opposite. So demar ki yatana, there's another tanit, tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shana yutokim b'shal zcharim kfufin uvivlot b'shal yaelim. On Rosh Hashanah, they used to use a ram's horn that was curved, and on Yovel, an ibex's horn. Why didn't he just say Aloch Rabbi Yehuda? Why did he have to say the separate statement? Even if thought he held the same way about Yovel, which he doesn't. Kamash Malan. Now, Mike Epalgi, what's the machloket about? It's symbolic. On Rosh Hashanah, according to one opinion, the more that you make yourself low, so the curved shofar, it kind of makes yourself bent and low, is better. For Yovel, the more that you make yourself straight and unassuming and flat is better. And so they have the opposite approach. Rosh Hashanah, it's better to be pashut, and taniot, better to humble yourself. And this may reflect different attitudes towards the proper mood of the day. Okay, the Mishnah said, "Opiv mitzupez zahav." Tanya mitzipah zahav makom anachat piv pasul. So makom anachat piv kasher. But we have a brayta that says that if you put a gold plating on the shofar, if it's the place where the mouth fits, the embouchure, then it's pasul. But if it's not there, then it's kasher. Right? Our Mishnah was referring to a place that is not where the mouth goes. They have two chatzotzot on the sides. Since when can you hear two voices at once? You got the sound of the shofar and the sound of the chatzotzot. You can't discern them from each other. You're not hearing anything. Famous things, Zachor and Shamor, the two versions of the Dibrot. God said them as once, what a normal human being can't say and an ear can't hear. Alright, so the answer is L'chach marich b'shofar. You're right, and that's why the shofar has to go longer, so that at some point you just hear the shofar. How can you be Yotzei if all you heard was the end? So from that you also must infer that if you only hear the beginning at the end, you're Yotzei. In other words, as long as you hear a couple seconds of Tkia, even if you miss the beginning or the end, you're Yotzei. Is that really true? Remember, in the order of Tkiot, which we're going to get to in the last parak, you have Tkia, Trua, Tkia, Tkia, Trua, Tkia. So if you were to do Tkia, Trua, Tkia very long, in the hopes that would count for also the beginning Tkia of the next one, it doesn't work. It's only one long Tkia. Hamai Tisalik Lebatate. Consider it half, because you heard that long. The answer is, Pasuke Tkiata Meadari Lo Paskina. We can't divide a tkia arbitrarily and say, well, it's as if there were two. So that doesn't prove anything against what we're saying here, that if you hear the end or the beginning of tkia, it's done enough. Toshva, tokea l'tocha bor, we'll see this soon, l'tocha dut, l'tocha pitas. If somebody is in an excavation or a pit and you blow shofar in there, im kol shofar shama yatsa. If he hears the actual shofar, he's yotze. Im kol havara shama, but if he hears the echo, lo yatsa. Amai, why? Leipuk b'tchila tkia mikamad le'arbev kola. Why isn't he Yotzei with that first sound before the echo gets mixed in? The answer is that our beginning assumption was wrong. When we say you cannot hear two sounds together, that's two sounds coming from one person. That you can't hear, and that's a chor v'shamor. Mitrei gavri mishtami. But if it's coming from two different people, you can't. Mitrei gavri mishtami, since when is that the case? Vatanya. Vatorah achad korei v'chad metargem. What's the rule in Kriyat HaTorah? Only one person can read, and another person is metargem. Vad shelo yushtaim korei yushtaim metargemim. But you can't have two people reading together, or two of them metargem. Halo dami ala seifa. But the truth is that that same brayta has a seifa. But when it comes to Halal or Megillah, you can have a bunch of people reading together. Why? The answer is that because Megillah and Halal are things we're very excited about, we're going to pay close attention, and you can distinguish the voice. Same thing with the Tekiah. Since you're so in love with the hearing the shofar, you'll hear it even though there's the Chatzotra playing over it or under it. So then why have the shofar make a longer sound and continue after the Chatzotra has stopped? The answer is Leidash Mitzvah Yom Shofar. So you should know that today the Mitzvah is Shofar. Okay, we said V'taniyot B'shal Zecharim K'fufin U'fiv Mitzupek Kesef. We said that on fast days, we use a curved ram's horn and it's silver plated. May Shahatam D'Zahav, May Shahachat Kesef. Why? On Rosh Hashanah it's gold and here it's silver. Ba'item Akol K'nufi D'Chesefu. It could be that because anytime you use a shofar to gather people together, you want to use silver, just like the chatzotzot we use to gather people. And a tanit is a time of gathering everyone together. The Torah doesn't want you, Am Yisrael, to have to spend too much. Silver is less expensive than gold, so we don't have to make all the shofarot, because it's a different shofar in any case, because of the animal and the shape. So why don't we make the one on Rosh Hashanah also silver? Because that's Kvod Yom Tov, make it silver, gold. And that's kind of the tension between Mamonam Shel Yisrael, but Kvod Hashem. He wanted to actually rule like the Mishnah. This entire thing was only in the Mikdash. There are no two instruments playing at one time outside of the Mikdash. That was the custom of Rabbi Yossi's father in Tzipori. So Rabbi Chalafta and Rabbi Chanan ben Tradion attempted to have these both sounds on Rosh Hashanah and on fast days in their towns, and the Chachamim said, no, that's only at Shar HaMizrach and on Har HaBayit. Rabbi Tam, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Mikra, what's the pasuk to support that the Ktiv b'chatzotzot v'kol shofar together? Hariu l'fnei ha-melech Adonai, meaning l'fnei ha-melech Hashem hu d'vayin chatzotzot v'kol shofar. It's only in the presence and before God that you have both chatzotzot and shofar. Ba'al malo, but anywhere else, it's only one or the other. Shavah Yovel Rosh Hashanah v'tkiyah v'brachot, as we said at the end of the Mishnah, that the Yovel, Yom Kippur of Yovel, is like Rosh Hashanah for tkiyah and brachot. Shavah b'yitzchak, come on, it's l'na ha'idna, zeh yom tchilat masachah, zikron liyom ishon. In our tefillot, we have the lines, Hayom Tchilat Maasecha, this is the beginning of your creation, a commemoration of the first day on Rosh Hashanah. Kaman, who are we following? Karabi Eliezer. It follows Rabbi Eliezer, as you saw in the first parak. Tamar Tishrei Nivra Olam, the world is created in Tishrei. Meiti Rav Eina Shaveyo Velo Rosh Hashanah Lukiyav Librachot Va'ika Zayom Tchilat Maasecha Zikaron Le'Mishon. Well, according to our Mishnah, then we should be saying that same line in Yovel on Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur can't be Zikaron Le'Yom Rishon. And so therefore it's not really exactly alike. So the answer is Kiktani Ashara. Yeah, the rest of Tefillah is alike. The things that are specific to the day itself, I'm going to say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron on Yom Kippur V'Yovel. Hashesh Breda of Idi Matniachi, he had a different read. He said actually that our Mishnah follows is against Rabbi Eliezer. Why? And so he tried to use our Mishnah to use that line in the Tefillah to prove that our Mishnah has to follow Rabbi Yeshua, that the world is created in Nisan, and therefore there's no mention in Rosh Hashanah about it being a commemoration of creation, and therefore you could say the exact same words 10 days later on Yom Kippur of Yovel. The The answer is no, Kiktani Ashara. We use the same answer, that our Mishnah was only referring to the rest of Tefillah and to the Tkiot, and not to that particular line or mention of commemoration of creation. Okay, we'll pick it up in the next podcast. In time, we should have a wonderful day.